The first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Alkadama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go in his own place.' And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from the book of Revelation, Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will come no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angels to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty, Come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may perfectly become one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the first lesson from Acts chapter 1. Beginning the reading, it kind of has a sad start because it's talking about the death of Judas. Judas, after he betrays Jesus, doesn't go to Christ and say and repent. Judas gets completely despondent because of what he's done, and he goes out and he kills himself, which is very sad because, of course, had he gone to Christ, Christ certainly would have forgiven him. Then good old Peter decides he's going to get a replacement for Judas. They come up with a criteria. It's got to be somebody who was with Christ since John baptized him in the river. Somebody who had followed for the 2 to 3 years of his earthly ministry until the crucifixion. And somebody who had saw the resurrected Christ. Peter felt that they needed another eyewitness to be part of the 12. So Matthias gets picked. So is this a good thing to be picked to be part of the 12? You think Matthias went, oh, yes, I have got it made. I am one of the 12. I am going to get spinner caps on a chariot. Well, see, they couldn't drive new cars. You think that was his reaction at all? No, since Matthias had been with Christ during the earthly ministry, he knew exactly what he was getting into. He had a hostile Jewish leadership and hostile Romans. Spreading that word was going to have cost Matthias like it would the other 11. And even in today's world, there's a lot of hostility. I do think that, 50 years ago, the world was a lot more friendly to Christians, where church attendance was more of the norm rather than the exception. Do you happen to know what the church attendance percentage-wise in Germany is, of the German population that goes to church on any given Sunday? 2%. That's it. The world has certainly changed. And just giving my few second rant about good old TV today, all the profanities, the obscenities, anything goes on TV today. Anything goes. And yesterday, I think I saw one of the I think it was one of the saddest things. Illinois state government passed an abortion law that you can abort right up to the day of birth. And the state government, the legislators there, were hugging each other and dancing after they voted for this. And I looked at this and gone, just how depraved have we really gotten? And of course, now, if you want to run for politics, you got to openly support the gay movement. But Christ told us the day was going to come when good was going to be declared to be evil, and what is evil is going to be declared to be good. And like Matthias, we face a world that is hostile. So do you ever feel different than your neighbors, friends, and family? How about your coworkers, even the retired ones, when you think back? Do you ever feel different than them? Well, Scripture tells us in Psalm 139, I am a stranger on the earth. Hebrews 11:13. By the way, Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. It goes through all the Old Testament people of great faith. Excuse me. Oh, I think I found my place. The Hebrews passage says that we are strangers on this earth. And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, live your lives as strangers or temporary residents here. In essence, what Scripture is saying is this, dare to be different. The Christian life changes the way we think, the way we act, and the way we live. The world says focus on yourself. Christ says focus on others because of what he's done for us. We are called to be different. I'll use the expression dare to be different, but we're called to be different. Christ declares us holy because of what he's done. He set us apart from the world, and he says we are strangers here. And while we're here, we serve him in every aspect of our life. So here's a question. How can God expect us to be really different from the people around us? Dare we be different? Are we concerned that others might think it's strange that we're not like them? One of the presidents that I greatly admire was Calvin Coolidge. So see, I can talk about politics because he's 100 years ago. All right? And maybe except for one or two members here, nobody was alive when Coolidge was. Well, my dad was. But anyway, President Coolidge, every morning after breakfast, would sit near a window and read the scriptures for an hour. He says, if I can't do right by God, how can I do right by the nation? Drove his staff nuts. Mr. President, why are you taking an hour out of your day? Can't you do this later? And Coolidge says, no, this is how I begin my day. He dared to be different than all those around him. And by the way, on our own strength, if we rely on our own strength to follow Christ, to conform our lives to him, we can't do it. The word power, that we will get this power or empowered, appears 120 times in the New Testament. That word power doesn't necessarily just mean the ability. It means a moral power and an excellence of the soul. And excellence is defined this way by the word that was used, the excellence of the soul. We look at the end goal, and that's where we want to get to. All right? And everything keeps building up until we get to that goal, but each step's important. An analogy I heard was this. If a man makes a bridle for the horse, is that going to improve society and further God's kingdom? A bridle for a horse. Yes! Oh, good answer! Because what happens then is somebody uses that horse to plow a field. I guess I should really update that one, but plows a field. That produces crops. All starts with that bridle and just keeps getting up to excellence, the end goal. We are empowered by God to further His kingdom. But each step along the way is just as valuable as the next because it gets us to the goal. Allow God to empower us to be different. Dare to live differently in this world. Psalm 119 says, "Be good to your servants, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am only a stranger in the land. Don't hide your commands from me." Obviously, the psalmist for 119 is a servant of God. He wants to obey God's word. So do you think society back then said to whoever wrote Psalm 119, "You are right"? Or do you think he faced a hostile world with that? Christians face hostility in a world today because we love and trust in God. When we say the Bible is 100% God's word, some people can bristle. Or when we say God's word applies throughout the centuries, no matter how long. And if you really want to see a hostile world, tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven, because that's what Jesus says. You will face hostility. Or the idea that evil exists. I'm amazed at how many people don't believe evil exists in this world. I don't know about you, but I've heard this idea. We all have this spark of good within us. And if we just reach down and find that spark of good in everybody, everybody can be better. So no matter what they've done, just reach that spark. Now, where's that one written in the Bible? It says every inclination of the heart is evil. All right, the only reason we do good is because God empowers us to do it. So Christians are different. We are strange. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "You aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night, so be on your guard. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk, but let us who live in the light be clear-headed. Protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other. Build each other up, just as you are already doing." Paul's using contrast that the world itself lives in darkness and we live in the light. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. We are born enemies of God, but we are called to light, called to the light through baptism. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit works faith in an infant, works faith in an adult. And that faith is strengthened by the word and sacraments. That's why as Christians we cannot separate ourselves from the body of believers. Alone, the world will pick us off. But strengthened by the Holy Spirit, we can be more like Christ and be different than the world. To show the world there is a better way to live. And we live this way because of what Christ has done for us. And I'm going to conclude with part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. So we are citizens of a different world. We're strangers in this land, but we are meant to live differently. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.